The first case on the court's oral argument agenda today is case number 73175. Tracarici, my apologies, versus Cooperative Rabobank UA. I would like to first comment that this panel has had this case about 30 days. I have watched and looked at the docket, and on behalf of the court, I want to apologize to counsel and to the parties for the undue delay to bring this matter before the Supreme Court. It is inexcusable and unacceptable. We are doing our best to clear up some of these cases and get them on track and get them decided. So I appreciate your accommodation in being available today to argue this case. Are you ready to proceed, Mr. Wall?
Thank you. Honorable Justices, my name is Michael Wall. I am counsel for Michael Tracarici, and in this matter, I have with me Scott Hessel. He is admitted pro habice from Chicago and is one of the trial attorneys in the case. I would like to attempt to reserve about 2 or 3 minutes for rebuttal. We'll see how that goes. The most important thing about this case is that the Nevada Supreme Court, this court, has a long history of protecting Nevada citizens against the acts of foreign actors that are intended to cause harm in Nevada and do cause harm in Nevada. And that history has not been overturned by the recent case of Walden from the United States Supreme Court. This court, as Justice Mowbray declared in Davis in 1981, needs to protect the fundamental principal interest of the state of Nevada in providing for Nevada residents an effective, fast, and convenient forum where they can sue individuals who have foreign individuals, in this case an international conspiracy, in one forum, in one action, where they can have a remedy that is fair and convenient. The targeting-based jurisdiction that this court has approved in Davis and Bacoli and Trump is alive and well. There's no reason for this court to back away from that jurisdictional test. The effects test was not overruled by Walden. What Walden said was that when there is an effect which is has nothing to do with any connection of the defendant with the state, it's just a fortuitous effect in the state. That's not enough. But when a defendant targets somebody who lives in Nevada, a resident of Nevada, and takes action outside of Nevada that is intended to cause consequences within Nevada, that's a contact with the state of Nevada.
But sir, when these conversations started, he wasn't a resident of the state of Nevada. Isn't that correct? Or there was no reason for them to believe he was a resident of the state of Nevada?
He was not a resident of the state of Nevada when the matter began. There were some conversations and some negotiations that took place in Ohio and New York before this matter began. But almost immediately upon obtaining the funds, Mr. Tracarici moved to Nevada, and they knew that he moved to Nevada, and they dealt with him in Nevada. And there were no real dealings with respect to this conspiracy against him until he was in Nevada. The most important thing is that the letter of intent was sent to him by Fortran in Nevada.
So you're saying that the conspiracy continues on? It's not as what the respondents say, that it's just the beginning we look at. We look at the whole conspiracy.
Yeah, the conspiracy existed before he moved to Nevada, but it continued on after he moved to Nevada, and specifically targeted him after he moved to Nevada. And it continued on then after the sale was completed, and they did not uphold any of the bargain that they had made with him, and everything and the fraud became apparent. that that's what it was. So there are multiple contacts with the state of Nevada. The letters were directly sent by Rabobank to Mr. Tripurici in Nevada. More importantly, Rabobank's connection with Nevada is direct and intended to cause harm here. Rabobank engaged in a fraud, which was a loan, which was never a loan. It was a sham from the beginning. And so in order to pull off this sham and not have any risk at all, they did no due diligence with respect to Fortran, who they dealt with regularly, or Utrecht, with whom they dealt regularly. They knew what the fraud was. They insisted that Mr. Tripurici enter into a contractual relationship with them, and that all happened in Nevada. They insisted it wasn't a loan, as it's been set up between Rabobank and Fortran, and then Fortran gave that money, through Nob Hill gave that money, and there were two separate relationships, as you would expect in a situation like this, if this were really a loan from an international company. What happened here is that Rabobank made certain that Mr. Tricarici's money was in their bank before they made the loan. And they made certain that Mr. Tricarici had resigned his position with the company before they made the loan. And then they were paid back on the loan on the same day they made the loan with Mr. Tricarici's money, and there was no interest involved. Instead, they were paid a fee for this loan transaction that they entered into. So there is direct contact with them, directly with Nevada, knowing it's not just there was a consequence here in Nevada. They knew they were going to defraud people. They knew that a portion of this fraud, that Mr. Tricarici was one of the people being defrauded. So they went out, they insisted on that he open up first.
Isn't this a little bit distinguishable from Pacoli in that in Pacoli, an agent actually solicited a sale, a property to a Nevada resident? Here, he was a resident of Ohio first and then Ohio moved here. You have a little difference with Pacoli in that regard.
There may be a slight difference there, but the similarities with Pacoli are much stronger. In Pacoli, the Pacolis had gone to Colorado to see see properties there, and after having done so, they came here, and individuals from Colorado approached the Pacolis in Nevada to sell them the property. So, that was the only contact, but it was the Pacolis who were here in Nevada, and the misrepresentations that were made in that case were made directly to the Pacolis in order to induce them to engage in this transaction. It's the same thing here. There was nothing that was settled in Ohio. There were just discussions between Westside and Rabobank, not Rabobank, Fortran before, and Nob Hill. There were discussions and talks, but Mr. Tricarici moved to Nevada, where he hired Nevada lawyers to give him advice, and he also relied on his other lawyers to give him advice as to what the transaction was. And then it was that Fortran had reached into Nevada. And at that point in time, Rabobank wasn't in any way involved in this. At that point in time, it was Fortran who then sought the money from Rabobank, which was the false money. And Rabobank then approached Michael Tricarici specifically in Nevada, insisting that he transfer his funds to their bank so that they would have control over it, that they have a relationship directly with Rabobank. So they have a direct relationship. It's not a lender-borrower-purchaser situation where you have two separate transactions going on. You have Rabobank knowing that this is a fraud. And there's tons of evidence in the district court as to how the fraud was done, but that's not what the decision was on. All of that should be something as far as who's responsible for what, how the conspiracy played out, who's the victim and who's not the victim. All of those things and the arguments that we've seen in the briefs are misplaced at this level.
But, Mr. Wall, a number of circuits since Walden have held that the fact that defendant knows plaintiff is a resident of a forum and may suffer injury there is insufficient for personal jurisdiction. So what outside of Mr. Tricarici's residency in Nevada is connecting these groups to the forum? Outside the plaintiff's connections to the forum.
A number of cases have addressed these issues since Walden, and they've gone both ways. And the touchstone is as to how they go. They're not inconsistent with each other, in my view. The touchstone of how they go differently is whether or not the contact is fortuitous, or simply knowing that they're in Nevada and simply knowing that there will be damage in Nevada, that's not enough. There has to be some kind of a relationship between the defendant and the forum. And the relationship between the defendant and the forum in this case is that they actually came to Nevada to engage in a contractual relationship there. And this is a tort action. So the standard is you have to have committed an intentional tort. We believe that we've alleged that, and that has to be accepted as true. And that intentional tort has to have been targeted at a person in Nevada. This was definitely targeted at Mr. Tricarici, and or the other standard, which is the effects test. It had to have had an effect here. It's not enough that it simply had an effect here, but it is enough if it is connected with Nevada in a real way.
But Mr. Tricarici is the one that brought the action, according to your logic, that brought the action to Nevada. If he had moved to Colorado, there's nothing connecting Nevada. So he's the one driving the connection. It's his connection.
He moved from Ohio, but there was no contractual relationship before, and he didn't bring it here. They followed him here. They came here, and Rattlebank had no contact with Mr. Tricarici before he came here. The fact that he moved here for legitimate tax reasons has no bearing on the case, other than the fact that when Rattlebank and Utrecht entered into this transaction, which was a conspiracy and a fraud from the beginning, and that is another basis for the jurisdiction of this court, is the conspiracy jurisdiction under Davis, which has never been overturned. When Rattlebank entered into this, he was already here. Rattlebank could have made the loan to Fortran. They didn't have to have anything to do with Michael Tricarici. But they reached into the state of Nevada in order to have a direct contractual relationship with Mr. Tricarici, and that was to further the conspiracy and to commit an intentional tort. That intentional tort was the fraud that we have alleged and that this court has to accept as true. That's how this case is different from the tax court case and the arguments that were made that were somehow bound by the decision of the tax court. The tax court decided that as between the IRS tracing the funds and Mr. Tricarici, who had the funds, all they had to prove was constructive knowledge that there was a problem, and that's a completely different standard than we have here. What we have here is the classic bad guy wanting to blame the victim. Let's blame the victim so that the court will look at the wrong factor. In this case, it's alleged that Mr. Tricarici is the victim, and that has to be accepted as true. But even if that didn't have to be accepted as true, looking at the case, as between Mr. Tricarici and those individuals who participated in this fraud against him, it's a completely different standard. The jury should get to be able to decide who's at fault and who knew what and when they knew it and how Mr. Tricarici was defrauded by these individuals in this transaction. Finally, Safearth. I didn't get a chance to talk much about them, but they're a part of the conspiracy from the beginning, and conspiracy law in Nevada under Davis is still good law. The individuals in Nevada should not have to chase conspirators around the world. Safearth knew at the time they wrote the letter to Millennium, who is Fortran, and sent it to Ireland in order to create another level of fraud in this, that people would be defrauded. And in fact, if we'd been able to do the discovery we were allowed to do, we would probably find out that they knew that Mr. Tricarici was one of the intended victims. In any event, they knew there were intended victims. They wrote the letter for the very purpose of defrauding those victims. I'd like to reserve the rest of my time.
Okay, Mr. Wall. Mr. Morris.
Your Honor, Steve Morris on behalf of Cypress Shaw. I'll be speaking for about 8 minutes. Mr. Chris Caparello will speak for 7 for Rabobank and Utrecht. And before I use up my 8 minutes, I'd like to say one thing in response to the question you asked, Justice Stiglitz. If you take a look at, and you also referred to it, take a look at the tax court opinion, which is part of the appendix here. The tax court wrote an elaborate opinion, findings of fact, conclusions of law, which has been upheld by the Ninth Circuit. And what they pointed out is that here, in this, and Mr. Wall misspoke, Mr. Tracarici did not move to Nevada to seek the advice of Nevada counsel with respect to entering into this transaction. This transaction started in Ohio.
Well, what about, and I don't mean to cut you off, but
sure.
Let's just say this is a different type of case. Let's just talk about conspiracy and conspirators and the big picture of jurisdiction. What is your argument that, which was what Mr. Wall made, that we have Pacoli and Davis that's still alive and well, and Walden didn't involve conspirators. Why should a plaintiff have to go all over the world in order to bring in the conspirators?
I don't disagree with that. I would point to the Justice Hardesty, a remark you made in the Vega case with respect to having to follow the law, even though the plaintiffs would have difficulty and be frustrated in meeting the requirements of the law. I'm going to respond to your question now. What we do not have here is allegations that connect Seifert and anything Seifert did with Nevada. Seifert is an international law firm that in 2003 rendered an opinion to Millennium in Ireland with respect to unrelated transactions that occurred outside the state of Nevada in 2001. That's in the appendix. It's in the tax court's opinion.
But wasn't that to
pardon
I'm
me?
Not going to say his name. I want to call him McNabb. It's McNabb. But wasn't that to him, and he's also part of Knob Hill? He's also part of Knob Hill.
Yes, but the opinion was rendered with respect to transactions that occurred in 2001 that are not a part of this case at all, not a part of the claim.
I know, but the opinion letter he gave was to Millennium, and that was also, and I'm not going to say his name right, I want to call him again, McNabbitt. McNabbitt is part of Millennium. McNabb is also president of Knob Hill, which is the entity which all this went through.
All right.
What's
the question?
I'm not saying beyond a reasonable doubt, but certainly there's an inference that
that a letter went to a company that had affiliates that are involved in this transaction. The point is that the opinion letter that was rendered with respect to a particular transaction years before this transaction, the one that's before you, occurred, and is restricted, the opinion letter expressly is restricted to the 2001 transactions that it addressed. That letter did not find itself or find its way into Nevada by any means.
But there was no discovery done on it. I mean, it's only 2 years later, and we've got the same players in this. If we believe what's true, this complicated conspiracy.
Well, there has to be something in the way of allegations with respect to a conspiracy. All you've heard is in the papers here that Mr. Tricarici filed. He said Cypher somehow facilitated. That's his word, facilitated this transaction that he's now complaining of. There's no allegation of fact. There's no allegation at all of what the conspiracy might be. You heard him say this is the result of an international conspiracy. There's not a word in the pleadings or in the documents that have been produced to show that there was any conspiracy anywhere at all. And certainly there's nothing to show that Cypress participated in this. If you you can't base jurisdiction over a foreign defendant on an allegation that a third party conspired somewhere else to do something in Nevada, and that you can impute to an Cypress. That just isn't the law. We don't have here, and if we have to follow the law, as Justice Hardesty pointed out in Biga, even though it might be a little onerous and difficult for the plaintiff to contend with, we don't have purposeful availment of the privilege of conducting business in Nevada and obtaining the benefits of Nevada law. We don't have that by Cypher. Cypher didn't do anything. It wasn't here. It never corresponded with or had communications with. It had no interaction with at all Mr. Tricarici. It was not among the lawyers that Mr. Wall referred to as Mr. Tricarici Consulting after he moved here. And he was mistaken in making that statement. That statement is not found in Mr. Tricarici's declaration, which is a part of this record, and it is not found in any testimony given or arguments made in the PWC case, which remains behind in the district court. The legal advice he saw with respect to this transaction came from his lawyers in Ohio. He consulted them with respect to this particular transaction. His brother, James Tricarici, encouraged him, in addition to seeking the advice of his lawyers in Ohio, who, as the tax court points out, were familiar with the tax ruling that is in this case, that Mr. Wall contends, somehow was not disclosed to Mr. Tricarici, and therefore he was defrauded. Mr. Tricarici knew precisely what he was doing, and he knew it when he was doing it in 2003, long before he moved to Nevada in May, when he consulted his lawyers of 20 years standing in Ohio, and at his brother's suggestion, consulted with PricewaterhouseCooper with respect to the tax ramifications of this matter. Cypress doesn't appear anywhere in there. Cypress does not appear in the tax court opinion. There is not a thing to tie. I'm sorry, I might be speaking over here. There's not a thing to tie Cypher to any conduct with respect to Mr. Tricarici, and there is no allegation. By the way, Your Honor, when you said,
it appears to be attenuated even in what's explained, but we're still talking about on a motion to dismiss prior to any discovery on whether or not there was that conspiracy. Well, if we take the facts as true,
but
Walden doesn't necessarily overrule Piccoli and Davis. And so when we're looking at the big picture, and maybe not necessarily the facts of this case, because perhaps Tricarini isn't a babe in the woods here, I get that. But if you look at the district courts, and you say the district courts of Nevada, you're going to grant a motion to dismiss based on personal jurisdiction, and there is this theory out there that there are multiple international conspirators, whether or not it's true, but we accept that it is true for purposes of that. Why not give some discovery to see whether or not there is that conspiracy?
Because the burden is on the plaintiff when jurisdiction is challenged to point to allege, to direct the court's attention to, the district court's attention to, specific facts that would establish, if true, a prima facie case for jurisdiction by conspiracy. That didn't occur here. Mr. Wall was not able to identify any fact. He didn't plead any facts with respect to conspiracy. If your question is,
Well, he did. They did plead some conspiracy.
He did plead conspiracy, but that's all he did. Just by saying conspiracy does not entitle the plaintiff to go ahead against the motion to dismiss challenging jurisdiction by conspiracy. And that's what Judge Harvey addressed here. We had lengthy briefing and lengthy arguments on this point. And what Judge Hardy said, there's no allegations even. Put aside the word conspiracy, there aren't any allegations that show forum-related conduct, forum-related acts by Sideward. They don't exist. They haven't been pled. So on that basis, the judge said, and rightfully so, you're not entitled to discovery when you haven't even alleged facts that would lead a reasonable person to believe that there was a conspiracy and that Seifert was a part of it.
Well, assuming the Davis conspiracy theory applied to this case, your point is that there are no allegations that Seifert, as an alleged conspirator, had any Nevada contacts.
That's right. They're absent. And I'm sorry, I overspoke. I need to give some time to Mr. Paparella. would you grant him just a couple of extra minutes?
Sure.
Thank you.
If this court were to adopt a theory of conspiracy jurisdiction, which we would submit to you the court has not in the past, and the Ninth Circuit in California, among other jurisdictions, have declined to. But if this court were to adopt the theory of conspiracy jurisdiction, it wouldn't help the plaintiff here. Because even in those cases which use a conspiracy theory of jurisdiction, one of the conspirators must have substantial, meaningful, real, serious contact with the state of Nevada.
And that has to be alleged in the complaint.
And
so why don't you address the Walden basis for jurisdiction in this case, please?
What Walden held is that in determining specific jurisdiction, and that's what's at issue here because the plaintiff is no longer arguing general jurisdiction, the plaintiff has to either allege in his complaint or show in his evidence, in his affidavit and in his proof that he submits in opposition to a motion to dismiss, contacts by the defendants in some combination, we would say all of them, but in a conspiracy theory it has to be at least one of them, that is substantial, meaningful with the forum state. Not merely contact with someone who the defendants know reside in Nevada, and there's not a dispute here that the defendants were aware that at some point after May of 2003 that Mr. Tricarici had established a Nevada resident. That's not a dispute. What's going on here is that Mr. Tricarici, neither in his complaint nor in his affidavit, points to any, not a single substantive contact with Nevada, the kind of contact that Walden said is required. And further, he has to point to contacts, and the claims have to arise out of those contacts. The only contacts that Mr. Tricarici points to by any of the defendants, by any party, with the state of Nevada are two letters that were sent to him by non-party Nob Hill in Nevada. He says those two letters were sent to him in Nevada. One was a proposal, and the other was an amendment to the proposal to extend the exclusivity period. His claims do not arise out of those letters. This is completely different from the Piccoli case, where the Piccoli family's claims arose out of the phone calls with the Colorado residents. An agent for the people in Colorado had called the Piccolis and said, boy, do I have a deal for you. I've got a property that's for sale up here, and it's really cheap. call me, call my clients at the lawyers' offices tomorrow or a day after. The Pacolis call into this conference call, and they are told during this call that this property is for sale for a particular price. They haggle over the price a bit, but most importantly, that it can be used to run, to have gambling. And that turned out to be a false representation, according to the Pacolis. And they were also told on the call, prepare a contract and send it up to us. Prepare the contract in Nevada and send it up to us in Colorado. And it was those contacts, those were purposeful, substantial, and meaningful contacts by the defendants with the state of Nevada. And the claim arose directly out of those contacts. In Mr. Tricarici's affidavit, he does not, contrary to what counsel has said, identify a single contact with him by any defendant, not by Rabobank, not by any other defendant. He says, Rabobank asked me to fill out these forms. He doesn't say where he was when he was asked that. And the evidence that he submits shows that he filled out those forms in San Francisco and faxed them to Rabobank in New York. Those are exhibits to his affidavit. And they're at the record at Appendix 1552 to 1565. In fact, on one of them, which Mr. Tricarici signed, he had to say where he was when he signed it, and he wrote San Francisco. And he testified in the tax court proceeding that he went, that the closing for this transaction was in San Francisco and New York, and he was in San Francisco and met with Fortran in San Francisco for the closing.
Mr. Paparella, thank you for your argument.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Sorry, I went over.
No, Mr. Morris did, but he had a lot of questions. So neither one of you should apologize for anything. We're sorry you had to come all the way from New York to spend 4 minutes with us. But I believe we thoroughly understand your position.
Thank you, Your Honor. Okay. It's my pleasure to come here.
Okay, add a minute to Mr. Wall's rebuttal.
Thank you, Your Honor. Mr. Morris spent all of his time arguing with facts. He said that the victim knew what he was doing. All of those are facts that are alleged in the complaint. We have to assume it is true what is said in the complaint, that he was defrauded by all of these individuals.
Mr. Wall, could you point me to the line and paragraph in the complaint which alleges Nevada contacts by Cypher?
I don't have that complaint. I wouldn't be able to give you the lines, but we have the complaint is long, and it puts out all of the facts that we have alleged, and we have set them out in the brief. Especially they're set out in the reply brief, the exact contacts. The contacts are the ones that I have mentioned, and as
my understanding of your answering brief at page 49 is that you acknowledge that there was not any allegation that Seifert had any contacts with Nevada in relationship to Mr. Tarkarkia.
Seifert's
correct?
Our theory against Seifert is conspiracy.
Is my statement correct?
I don't believe that Seifert has a direct contact with Mr. Tricarici himself in Nevada. He's a part of the conspiracy. That's our theory against Seifert.
Okay. And then I would like you to address the comments made by Mr. Paparella regarding the application, if any, of the specific contacts in this case. What forms the basis of specific jurisdiction for the defendants in this case?
Okay, I will address that exactly. It's not specific. It's not correct what he said, that one of the defendants has to have contact with the state of Nevada. It's one of the conspirators has to have contact with the state of Nevada.
Which
directly.
Conspirator was that?
I believe that direct contacts are with Fortran, Rabobank, and Utrecht. And those contacts are Fortran sent these letters of intent, which became the contract, which is exactly what this lawsuit arises out of. Those letters of intent were the first part of the contract, and it was a part of forwarding the tortious conduct of defrauding Mr. Tricarici right there. And the contact that Rabobank has is that it was a part of this conspiracy with Fortran, but it has a direct contact besides that. It reached into Nevada and directly insisted that Michael Tricarachi enter into a contractual relationship with them in New York, knowing that it was a fraud, knowing that it was aimed at Nevada.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Wall. Mr. Morris, Mr. Caparella, thank you for your arguments. Once again, we will address this case as quickly as we can. The matter will stand submitted.